Well, this evening, as we continue to consider the theme of the Lord's resurrection on Easter Sunday, I want to this evening just to turn to some verses in the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians. Philippians and chapter 3. And we'll just read from verses 7 to 11. Philippians chapter 3, reading from verse 7. Let us hear the word of the Lord our God. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Amen. We saw this morning, as Chris was taking us through something of the theme of the resurrection, the subject of the significance of the resurrection to us, that it should be more significant than just mere history. And this evening, as I come to look at the subject of the resurrection, I want to look at a similar theme, and it's something of what effect has the resurrection had upon us, upon you as individual? What effect has it had upon you? What does it mean to you to know that Jesus is risen from the dead? I think it's one of the great testimonies of the veracity of Scripture, the truthfulness of the accounts that we have in the Word of God regarding the resurrection of the Lord, that when you read of the accounts of those who met the Lord Jesus, you see something that is quite remarkable. On the one hand, when you look at the lives of those who walked with the Lord and see how they reacted when Jesus was crucified and when he was put into the grave, they're things that are easy for us to understand. We can sympathize. We recognize the way that they behaved, the way that they responded. It's entirely natural. There was sorrow. There was weeping. There was mourning. There was puzzlement, wasn't it, on the behalf of those who thought that the Lord was going to be some great earthly leader, and now he was apparently gone, and they were puzzled and troubled by these things. We see those who as well had fear. They were there gathered in those upper rooms, afraid lest that which had befallen the Lord would come to them as well. Perhaps the Jewish leaders would turn their attention to the followers of Jesus, and those are natural things we can understand. All those emotions. There was no expectation that the events of Easter Sunday, that first morning of the week, no expectation that that would occur, that Jesus would rise from the dead, that any of the events that we're remembering today would take place. It took them completely by surprise. Didn't matter who they were, whether it was the inner circle of the disciples, whether it was the women who attended them, whoever it was. They weren't expecting this. We saw, didn't we, read the account this morning in John's Gospel. We read it here this evening in Luke's Gospel. We read of the women going down to the tomb early in the morning to prepare the spices, to bring that treatment of the Lord's body, and to finish off the work that they wanted to do. And the tomb was empty. They hadn't expected that. They were puzzled, weren't they? They were baffled by these things. They were afraid when they saw the visions of angels. We see Mary, don't we, as she was there weeping at the sepulchre, not even recognizing the Lord Jesus when he stood before her. We see those two on the Emmaus Road, walking along in sorrow, troubled by the events that took place. These are things that we can understand. This was but 3 days since a loved one had died. How do we respond? We, all of us here, I'm sure, have known loved ones who have died, and 3 days later, aren't we still feeling the pain? They're still troubled. that there's still that hurts, isn't there? They're still coping with the events that had taken place. Here were the two on the Emmaus Road, walking along, and they were sad. Jesus said, "Why? What's troubling you? Why are you walking along and are sad?" Here were two responding perfectly naturally to the events that had taken place. We can understand it. We can sympathize it. We've experienced exactly these same emotions. And then something happens. Each one of these people, whether it's the women at the tomb, whether it's the disciples, the two on the Emmaus Road, they meet the risen Lord. And a change takes place. A remarkable change takes place. Suddenly we find joy. We find excitement. We find them running to tell others what's happened, what they've seen, what they've experienced. Is that, I ask you, is that the natural behavior of somebody who's lost a loved one 3 days before? What's the explanation for that? Because here they have met the risen Lord. Those two who had been on that long, tiresome journey to Emmaus from Jerusalem, and they were turning in for the night. What did they do once they've met the risen Lord? They were willing to turn around, to hurry all the way back to Jerusalem, to tell the apostles what had happened. The things that they'd heard about early on in the day, that they're true. The women had seen an empty tomb. They had met the Lord, and they were able to add their testimony to that too. You see, what had happened is something that's completely turned about these people, who were one moment perfectly understandably, naturally, filled with sorrow, weeping, feeling the bitterness, the puzzlement, struggling with what's happened, just as we would understand. Suddenly, in a moment, that's changed. This was the explanation. Because this that is recorded is true, that Jesus had risen from the dead. What else could bring about that kind of joy and happiness and excitement and enthusiasm in the life of somebody who's filled with sorrow at the loss of a loved one? Could that happen to you? Could you imagine that? What, short of that person being found to be alive, could so turn you around and suddenly give you that lighter step and that joy and that happiness? It's completely impossible, isn't it, without these events being true that are set before us. See, their lives were changed. We read this morning, didn't we, the account of Thomas. And he hadn't been there with the disciples when the Lord had met them. And they told him, "We've met the Lord." He wouldn't believe. He says, "Until I see him, till I touch him, till I put my finger into the hole in his hands." But when he did, what did he cry? "Oh, my Lord and my God." See, they understood now. And here in that account that we read earlier, the Lord was opening their understanding. They understood not only that he had risen from the dead, but that had been his purpose and his plan. It had been foretold. It had been prophesied. He could point to the scriptures that said it would happen. He could expound these things to them. He could remind them that he told them this while he was here upon earth. But they'd been deaf to it. They hadn't heard it. They hadn't taken it on board. Now you see, when the Lord stood before them and met with them, how it changed their lives. Now the question that we have here this evening for us is this question. The Lord Jesus, this risen Lord Jesus, how has he changed your life? How does it affect you? It affected these people in a remarkable way, in a wonderful way. Suddenly, here they had an understanding of who Jesus was, an understanding of what he'd come to do, filled them with joy. And what I want us particularly to think of is how Paul responded, the Apostle Paul. We think of Paul, he described himself as an apostle born out of due time. He wasn't one of the disciples that had accompanied the Lord when he was here upon earth. But he met the risen Lord on the road to Damascus. And it was a very real experience to him. A moment before, his life had been filled with bitterness and hatred. He did his best to persecute these people that talked about Jesus. He wanted to throw them into prison. He had no time for them. But when he met the risen Lord, he was turned about. He was changed. Suddenly, this persecutor became somebody who was not only a follower of the Lord Jesus, but a fearless preacher of the gospel. One who would travel around telling people that he'd met the risen Lord. You see, it changed him. And those verses that we've just read here in Philippians chapter 3 set before us something of the extent to which he was changed. Something about how he completely turned about his focus in life. Completely turned about his priorities and what he lived for, what was important to him. And that's the question that comes to us tonight. What's important in your life? Because if this Lord Jesus, this risen Lord Jesus, is the one that you've met and you've experienced in dealing with you, then there should be a change of priorities, a change of interest, a change like Paul talks about here. What does he say here, Philippians chapter 3? He says there, doesn't he, in verse 7, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Earlier on in the chapter, he speaks, doesn't he, about how he had much in an earthly sense to be proud about. He was a very learned man, by all accounts. A man who would understand much of the law of God in a way that we could probably never grasp. He was a man who had a great pedigree in an earthly sense. He could point to these things as of a great family and a great respect that he would command amongst his people. He said, I didn't count any of those things of any value. He said, I count them but loss. For what? He says there in verse 8, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. He wanted to know more of this Lord Jesus, one that he'd met on the road to Damascus.